I'm just going to pray as we meditate on this beautiful section of Scripture. Let me pray. Father, as we meditate on this, your glorious truth, as we meditate on your glorious Son, our King Jesus, we ask that you would, by your glorious Spirit, work in us what is pleasing in your sight, Father, that we might see for Jesus' sake. Amen. In our time together this morning, we're going to touch on three concepts that Jesus draws out for us here, or at least refers to in passing. Three pictures, I think, of his identity that he touches on in a number of places in John's Gospel. We're just going to go through some of them, the first one a bit more at length, and then just touch on the other ones briefly. So firstly, Jesus as the light. Secondly, Jesus as the I Am, which we'll look at more in weeks to come. And Jesus, thirdly, Jesus as the Son. Jesus as the light, Jesus as the I Am, and Jesus as the Son. And we'll focus on Jesus as the light. So firstly then, Jesus as the light. Verse 12 again. And we read, again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As we've seen a glimpse on in the introductory this morning with those many verses that I read out, the term light is so jam-packed, as I said, with meaning, so much meaning, that when Jesus uses light, it really is quite an incredible statement about himself. I am the light. For the Jew, light was a symbol of the divine presence, salvation, the law, and wisdom, probably only to name a few. Remember that in the beginning, as we read this morning, God spoke and said, "Let there be light." And he saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And of course, John, who is writing this gospel, is famous for his double meanings, for his jam-packed meanings in the words he uses. For example, his use of night and darkness for evil and sin. So you might remember in chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. Judas went out and it was night. And here likewise with this term light, John has used already a number of times. Most specifically, I think, in chapter 1 and 3. So we'll look there firstly. In chapter 1, you may remember, have a look with me from chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him, the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men, of humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Listen to this, verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And then John continues on to tell us how the world rejected the true light, and mostly his own people. So here at the very beginning of John's gospel, we're told that the eternal Son of God, the Word of God, is the light, the true light, the light that shines in the darkness, the life that is the light of men, the true light which gives light to everyone. If we turn back quickly to Isaiah, this might help us as well, which Matthew picks up on and tells us is fulfilled in Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen are great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And again, we read it this morning, Psalm 27 says, the Lord, that is Yahweh, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? These powerful images of light, of salvation, of rescue from God, His presence coming and bringing light and life and eternal hope for those who trust in Him, in His Messiah, His King to come, that is Jesus Christ, and in Him alone. But let's come back to John chapter 3, which I think is very significant for us as we unpack this term a little this morning. John chapter 3, in this context of light, just after those incredible words that you'll know well, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Just after those words, shortly after then, from verse 18, we read this. Whoever believes in Him, Jesus the Son of God, whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Now listen to this, verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works, their deeds, were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So here we have this picture of what is meant by darkness. John again uses this term to evoke the imagery of sin, of evil, of wickedness, things under Satan's control. Satan's kingdom is the kingdom of darkness, and God's kingdom is the kingdom of light. And the scriptures tell us that all people, by nature, all of us, we belong to the kingdom of darkness. Darkness, sin, and evil that we do not want exposed, of course. But in light of our passage here, I think a note I came across is helpful, and I quote, the darkness is of two kinds that John is speaking about here. That which prevails before the light comes, right? So that which prevails before the light comes, and that which descends, that darkness which descends on those who have refused the light and have chosen to live in darkness. That which prevails before the light comes, and that which descends on those who refuse the light and have chosen to live in darkness. And here's why I think this is so helpful when we come to chapter 8, because Jesus says what? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, Jesus says, will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is not speaking here about those who, like the religious leaders and Judas, saw and experienced something of the light of Christ, the revelation, the goodness, the power, the love of Christ, and they refused the light. They chose to live in darkness, to remain in darkness. And Jesus is speaking here rather of those who are in darkness. Remember, we are all in darkness by default. We are all in Adam, as Andrew prayed, united to sin and death with Satan as our master. Whether we like that or not, that is the case. It is God's truth. But Jesus is speaking here about those who, by God's grace, see that they are in the dark, in the darkness. Those who see that they are in the darkness and who recognize the goodness, the need for the light, the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And so they are gripped. We are gripped by repentance and faith because we see the light and we see, so we see our darkness. Because we who were blind, as the great hymn says, now I see. These now see the light. They see Christ. They follow him, therefore, and he gives them eternal life. And as Jesus will say, they will never perish and no one will snatch them from my hand. That is what is meant, I'm sure, by the words in chapter 3. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In order that people in darkness, that is, would see the great and glorious light of Christ, the eternal light, the Son of God in all his glory, in all God's love and mercy to us at the cross, in the Father's great grace to us, in the gift of his one and only Son, that we might, in the darkness, that we might experience the light of life, that we might know, that our hearts might be illuminated by the light of the world himself, even Jesus Christ. These are incredible words, friends, and I feel unworthy almost to speak on them. Take this in this morning. Jesus, who says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Sometimes you really have to stop yourself and think, here's a man speaking in a place with people, and he's saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me. I mean, he's either crazy or he's telling us the truth. In fact, it's a double negative here. In the original language, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, will most certainly not walk in darkness, is what John is saying here, what Jesus is saying here. He will certainly not. He will never walk in darkness. So we see Jesus as the light. And we also see here Jesus as the I am. Now we'll come to these statements again many times, and I'm not going to focus on this morning from this angle, and particularly next time, not next week because we're preaching on something else, but Lee's preaching on something else. But when we come back to John, the end of chapter 8, we'll focus on his I am statement, because that's probably the most significant one of the I am statements in terms of him saying before Abraham was. But here Jesus has already said before our section, I am the bread of life. And he'll go on to say, I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the true vine. These incredible I am statements. But here in our section this morning, apart from, of course, I am the light of the world, we see a more indirect reference to this title as well. You may have noticed this from verse 21. Let me read that again. From verse 21, chapter 8. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are from this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, literally I am, you will die in your sins. He says it again. So they said to him, verse 25, so they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I've been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he'd been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. Literally, I am. And that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. In Exodus 3, and again, we'll come here more next time, but in Exodus 3, when Moses is talking with God at the burning bush, you probably remember, God revealed himself as I am who I am. So Moses is to tell Pharaoh, I am has sent me to you. Moses says, what name do I use? How do I tell Pharaoh who sent me? I am. Tell him I am has sent you. And here in our section, Jesus uses the Greek version of this statement translated, I am He, as I said. But in fact, we'll spend more time, as I said, on these statements. Jesus is holding back in His claim. He's not holding back in His claim to be the very eternal Son, God Himself in the flesh. But as I said, we'll come there more next time. We'll spend more time on that. But lastly, Jesus as the Son. Verse 15. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. No one ever spoke like Jesus, right? Jesus, in chapter 5, has spent a lot more time on a very similar idea. If you want to read chapter 5, that may help you. But there, Jesus talks in a very detailed conversation with the Jews about this idea of witness, of a witness to Him. He talks about John the Baptist bearing witness to Him, not that he needs it, he says, his own works bearing witness to Him, the scriptures themselves bearing witness to Him, very similar with Moses, who wrote about Him, he says, and of course His Father, which is what he focuses on here. The Father's witness to His Son. Jesus lived like no one else has ever lived. In complete obedience, perfect obedience, fueled by unparalleled love for His Father. I know we don't really like it very much, but it's true to say God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That's what the scriptures tell us. But what is Jesus' great motivation in John's Gospel? Sure, it's because He loves us. But what does He keep saying it is? He loves His Father. He wants to please His Father. As a man, He overcame temptation by the power of the Spirit because of His love for His Father. The love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the great eternal love of God, the triune God of glory. And we see this play out every single day of Jesus' life. Every single day, every moment of temptation, of opportunity for self-aggrandizement, every attempt to make Jesus the earthly king with earthly glory, he runs like Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife because of his great love for his Father. So when he says in verse 28, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me, and He who sent me is with me, He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. Friends, what a sentence. What a prayer for us as children of the Father. Isn't that what you desire? That all I do would be pleasing to you, Father? Jesus, the perfectly obedient Son who overcame sin again and again, who overcame Satan again and again, who overcame death and conquered through His loving obedience to His Father by trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what does Peter tell us years later? What does Peter say? For to this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. He entrusted Himself to His Father. Imagine that. Imagine facing particularly the cross as an innocent man. knowing at any moment you could call down a legion of angels to destroy all those against you, and not doing it. What motivates that? Love. Love for us, to be sure, but love for His Father. Friends, the light of the world, the great I Am, our Lord Jesus was the perfectly obedient Son at all times. It wasn't just before the eyes of men and women, but behind closed doors. It wasn't just when He was on mission doing His ministry, but it was all the time, every day, every thought, every word, every action, every response was in perfect obedience and love for His Father. He did not use His status. He did not use His identity as God to His advantage, Philippians 2 tells us. But He emptied Himself, Jesus, by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Just incredible. Beyond words, beyond grasping. And what I've found to be incredible in this light is that Jesus calls us there in Matthew 10, which we looked at only a few weeks ago in our Bible reading. He calls us the light of the world. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." We are called as Christ's lights in this world to point people to the true light that gives light to everyone. John tells us why he wrote down this letter for us, and so this gospel, so it will help us even over these weeks, just to remember this. There in chapter 20, verse 30, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, and we know at least some of those from the other gospels, don't we? Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, John says, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Friends, can I ask this morning, do you know if you are in the light? Or are you still in the darkness? Do you know if you are in the light, or are you still in the darkness? Do you recognize, as someone said in our Bible meditation on Wednesday night, that we sin because we are sinners? It's at our core. Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Jesus said to His own disciples, "If you who are evil," you don't like being called evil? Well, Jesus calls us evil. How does that sit? I'm evil apart from God's grace. Don't like that, do we? Because the evil people are the people we lock up in prisons. They're the people we're all against. Jesus says, "You're just the same. I'm just the same." He who never spoke a word wrong or out of turn, he never had that moment that, you know, we often have. Oh, I should have said that differently. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I should have zipped. He, Jesus, who knew, who knows the state of every single human heart, He says we are, apart from Him, slaves to sin, lost and gone astray, and awaiting the right and just judgment of God. We're condemned already. Jesus didn't come just to sort of say, "Hey guys, I love you. You'll be all right anyway, but I just thought I'd die." He says, apart from Him, we're slaves to sin, awaiting the just and right judgment of God for our problem that is incurable. And our world and we are so deeply rooted in the darkness that we cannot even see it apart from His grace. We can't. We are so immersed in darkness. Apart from Christ, the Scriptures tell us that we are children of the darkness. Worse than that, children of the Dark One, of Satan. Jesus says in chapter 12 of John's Gospel, "The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going." Isn't that our world? Isn't that you and me apart from God's grace? And we can try to hide it. Sure, go for it. Go. We can try and hide our darkness from our friends, our closest family, but we cannot and we never will be able to hide it from Him who sees all and knows all. But Jesus says there, in that same section of chapter 12, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Here is what is incredible, friends. He who sees all and who knows all, who knows the darkness in us better than we know it ourselves, and more than that, He who is the very light of life, the very light of the world, He calls us to follow Him. He does not come to condemn us. He invites us out of our darkness and into His glorious light. He does not condemn us if we will admit our deep darkness and fall into His glorious light, His forgiveness, His grace, His complete salvation for sinners like me and you. The truth of His light is that He, the light of the world, goes to the cross, where darkness seems to all but overtake the light, but it has not overcome it, until the glorious morn, where the Son of God rose from the grave, where light shone and shines forevermore. Jesus is the light of the world. And now, post the cross, post the resurrection, it is true beyond question. So will you turn from darkness and come into His light? That is the question. Will you agree with Jesus' assessment of you? This is the judgment. This is the judgment. Let me read those verses again. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. Do you agree with Jesus? Jesus is the light of the world. So will you turn from darkness and come into His light? While you have the light, believe in the light, Jesus says, that you may become sons of light. And brothers and sisters, those who know that simply by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we are sons and daughters of the light, that we are children of life, who have the light of life in the eternal Son. As I said before, what a privilege and honor that Jesus will even call us the light of the world. And so likewise, Paul writes to the believers in Ephesus, Therefore, do not be partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, Paul says, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children, live as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And again, Philippians says, therefore, my beloved, as you have obeyed, always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may become blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, listen to this, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. And so, brothers and sisters, as mini lights, if you like, as little lights, we are to shine the true light of life, the light of the world himself, Jesus Christ, into the lives of those around us, holding fast to the word of life. My prayer is that the light of Christ, our Savior, would fill us, mind, body, soul, and spirit, that we who follow him and trust him and love him would never walk in darkness, but enjoy the light of life. And so by his grace, may we shine brightly his light upon those in this darkened world, that they too may see and enjoy the true light of life found in Christ alone. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, who are we that you would come for us, but those in the dark, those whose darkness we know, Lord. And Father, if this morning, maybe for the first time, we have realized that we are in the dark, the darkness within our hearts has gripped us, or maybe yet again, Father, we know we don't measure up. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you did not come to tell us just that we don't measure up, but that you would provide the sacrifice for all our sin, that you would provide forgiveness full and complete, that you would provide your Spirit so that we can walk as you walked in the light of life, so that we might be your lights, shining your light to this dark and lost world. And so, Father, I ask that you might encourage us, that you might fill us, Lord Jesus, with your light, that our lives would shine your love to those around us for your name's sake. Amen.